this cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from the Middle East.
From this side of this pond. Sir, how we doing? How we doing? The American Red Devils are in the UAE. We are flying high after a big victory over Iran, 1-0. We're going to the knockout stages. Manchester United players in the World Cup, off to a flyer. How we feeling? How we doing?
Sir, how are you feeling? I can hear it in your voice. It's been a hell of a ride, hell of a trip. USA versus Iran, what a game. ARD abroad, making the trip to Qatar. And what an atmosphere for that match. I mean, to me, U.S. go through. It was nervy. The Iranian fans showed up. The atmosphere, I'm sure you could, everyone who watched it in the States, it was just unbelievable. Probably should have done more. I think the best defense is offense for the United States men's national team. But we shelled up in the second half, and man, we were sweating it in the stands.
We certainly were. It was another tale of two halves, almost reminiscent of the Wales game where, you know, first half they didn't even have a sniff at it. They were trying to slow the game down. They were really time-wasting because they knew that a draw would get them through. Fortunately, top-class ref kept the game moving, and United States kept the pressure on, kept pushing. Pooley got it his goal. Took a knock in the making of it, but it was a huge goal for the U.S. men's national team and a big win. And the second half was a little defensive. It was a little bit like we were trying not to lose instead of trying to win the game. Iran, they had a bunch of really good chances. Like you mentioned, the fans, they quieted down in the second half after the U.S. got that goal, but they didn't make it easy for us. But we got 3 points, and that's all that matters. United States advance, play the Netherlands on Saturday, and here we are, sir. We're in Dubai, enjoying the sun. They do serve alcohol in the Middle East. I can confirm it. You can hear my voice. How we feeling? How excited for the Netherlands game? Excited for the La Orange?
Alex is
Louis Van Gaal rematch.
We call it a snake bite. I think Alex had a
couple of them.
I think we were out in Abu Dhabi at dinner. I think, you know, on the fourth double gin and tonic, Alex is kind of feeling it today.
A little wobbly.
But you know what? Like, you know, we have to ride the wave. And, you know, USA Iran, that was the high. We came back, celebrated, got some Cuban cigars we purchased, and then smoked the Cubans outside the Al Thumama Stadium, celebrating with USA fans. I mean, what a night. I mean, and shout out to the Iranian fans. I mean, they were absolutely class. They brought the thunder. Iran. That was the cheer. They had the vuvuzelas. We had a guy with like a full size, like, you know, wear it on your chest drum going up and down the stairs. He got nabbed by security. We were sitting next to Iranians. They were class in defeat. You know, good feelings all around. You know, there was no, you know, people I told I was going to this game thought I was crazy to come to Middle East, go to this game, and said it'd be hostile. And it was absolutely class all around. The fans that travel for the USA, amazing. You sat next to, tell them about the gentleman that you befriended at during the game.
Just top U.S. Men's soccer fan. I think he's been to his sixth or his eighth World Cup. The guy had been in the United States for 45 years from Honduras, and he was there just cheering on the U.S. of A. But like you said, it was a great game. Iran, when we were walking into the stadium, they were the ones you could hear from a mile away. They had the drums. They had the da-da-da-da-da, Iran.
The horns and everything.
It was nuts. Crazy. But, like, the big thing, the big takeaway, you know, politics, that's the thing. Is like, once the game starts, politics aside, the best reminder in the world is the World Cup because, as you mentioned, Iranian fans were class heading into the game, and they were even more classy after the defeat. So shout out to the World Cup, bringing people together, all the controversy, forget about it. Doha, whatever.
We'll talk about Doha.
We'll talk about Doha later.
No, but it's true. It's like the World Cup, for those who have never been or are thinking about going, we went in 2014 Brazil. We skipped Russia.
But it really is a melting pot of the entire
world. So did the U.S. men's national team. They skipped it, too.
Yeah, they skipped it, too. But it's a melting pot of the entire world where everyone puts all the BS aside, and we're just football fans watching football. And there was a guy next to me, Iranian, you know, could tell you he didn't like the United States, and, you know, had a conversation with me. He's like, look at us sitting here watching a great game of football. And that is what the World Cup is about, you know. And to me, you feel it. It's amazing to watch the world put aside the BS. I mean, probably there's a lot of BS on the TV blaring at home, but in the stadiums, with the fans, with the people, you know, we're just football fans, and everyone was extraordinarily nice, and you got to call it out because it's an amazing World Cup, sir. But quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, you're a fan of these Muppets that travel around the world to watch U.S. men's soccer, Manchester United mostly. This is the U.S. men's national team takeover pod. It is the World Cup. You know, check us out on Patreon. We don't have ads on the pod. We're a simple operation. You want to support us, really appreciate it. We're trying to get 100 Patreon subscribers. Patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check our website as well, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Fan blog content there is ripping. Also, we have a great store, AmericanRedDevils.store. Everything you buy supports us, helps us keep the lights on. And, man, we need it right now because it's been a long trip. You can hear it in Alex's voice, maybe a little bit of mine. Haggard, snake bitten, big win. But we're here. Pod never sleeps. Where should we start? We got to start with the England 0-0. So we planned this trip maybe a year ago. And then the fixtures come out. Obviously, we got England. Then we got somehow get to the last game of the group stage because it's after Thanksgiving. And lo and behold, our flight takes off at 3:45. Kickoff for USA England, what was that like? Was it 10 a.m.?
10 or 11 a.m. local time.
10 or 11 a.m. We find a bar next to the airport. We drive down Fiddler's Green. Shout out to the Fiddler's
Green. Shout out Millbrae.
In Millbrae. Absolutely packed out. Alex having a dark ale early in the morning. USA England. What a game. I felt like we showed up. Pulley hits the bar. We took... Like, they didn't look dangerous. I mean, like, a few times we kind of – they had found the spaces on the wing with Luke Shaw. Like, maybe once or twice they looked really dangerous, pulled us apart. But then we kind of grew into the game, and we were threatening. We won the midfield battle. Our midfield outclassed England's midfield. That's insane to say. And we created the most dangerous chances. And Southgate literally put on Jordan Henderson. I was laughing out loud. Like, incredible. England has this amazing win. England's going to win the World Cup. They – draw the U.S. scared of the United States. I felt like we were the team going at them the whole game. This is the best 90 minutes I saw the U.S. men's national team play. We can go toe-to-toe with anyone in the world, but with the Wales and Iran, it's got to be said we play down in our competition. But how do you feel about that England draw?
No, I mean, I think just like you said, this year was a trip, a year in advance in planning, picking the third game. You know, there's always a chance you could be like the Canucks, and it don't matter when you show up in game week three because it could already be settled. Fortunately, as we were waiting for our flight, you know, at the Fiddler's Green, getting that point against England, I agree with you. You know, it was a cagey match. We had a couple good chances. Ultimately, I think our midfield just kind of helped us control the tempo, kept us in the game, stifled England. And by getting that point, we knew how important the Iran game would inevitably be, everything to play for, and it just set it up beautifully, sir. And, that, you know, we headed over at SFO, got ourselves on a 16-hour flight direct to Dubai.
Was that when and you're in? So we left, literally, like, whistle blows. We get an Uber, go to the airport, get on 15-hour flight direct to Dubai. And I'll tell you, this is a hell of a flight.
Hell of a flight.
Hell of a flight. You know, unfortunately, we don't have enough Patreon subscribers so we can fly, like, business class just yet. Sir, we don't have enough Patreon subscribers to take a bus to the Middle East. But, you know, this flight packed in like sardines, full flight. You know, we actually got some extra legroom seats, which was nice. Land in the Middle East, just haggard. And it's a full 12-hour change. I don't think we've gotten set on time zone just yet. But we land, check into the hotel, start trying to watch the game.
We drive down to, first of all, we land in Dubai, drive down to Abu Dhabi in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Not 45 minutes away.
Alex got a speeding ticket. Rent a car. Got, shout out to Lincoln.
No pullover. They automated. They sent me a speeding ticket via email.
He's like ripping. I was gonna tell this guy to slow down, but you know, we get there, get set up at the hotel. Actually, Leicester City staying at the hotel with us at the same time. They're doing like a little practice session in the Middle East.
It's very popular for Premier League clubs.
Premier League. We saw Johnny Evans today at the gym on our way out, chatted him up. What a class act he is. You know, one of those players that we probably sold way too early.
We told let him know that. We said, hey, Johnny, we sold you too early. He was like, you know, he was very coy about that. But we said, we asked him if he still roots for United. He's like, absolutely. He said he does it openly. He's a Manchester United fan, absolutely loves it. I said, what do you think about the back line since you left? Didn't really make too much of a comment, but although he felt like he deserved to still be there, I think he'd be a great number three. He's gone on to do class things at Leicester City. I gave him a shout. I said, join the MLS. You still got it, Johnny. So.
We saw Brendan Rodgers. I'll tell you what, we dodged the bullet there. We saw Vestergaard, a couple other of the Leicester players.
Yeah, we thank Brendan Rodgers for not coming to United. Yeah,
appreciate you. Thanks for losing those games for the Foxes. But like you said, sir, we got in late Saturday night local time. What did we do Sunday? I don't even remember. You can tell me on the fly.
Sunday, we just watched World Cup games, went to, like, you know, the beach, had a great setup, watched a bunch of games. Then we played some golf, watched some more, and then it was like, boom, right into USA Iran, and we did it the hard way where we said, hey, you know, we're going to take a 9 a.m. flight and then a 3:30 a.m. flight back. We did 18 hours in Doha, get there. Go to the fan fest, like nobody's there. It's amazing how they make it look on TV, and that's the one thing about going to the World Cup, where they make it shine on TV. Everything you see just looks great, but you can tell around Doha.
Tell me that fan zone. Tell me that fan zone, sir.
Alex is not a fan of Doha. I'm like in the middle. It's somewhere in between. It's not horrible. It's not as great as you see it on the TV. But you know, they built in a rush. The sidewalks are wobbly. That's like the number one thing you know. No one's at the fan. It's, by the way, winter is insanely hot,
so hot
in the Middle East. It's crazy. There's a reason why they're not playing the games until late at night. But any other key takeaway in Doha is they say they built this amazing metro, goes to none of the stadiums. Like none of the stadiums that we went to, like
we're on the metro. So. We went to two games. We posted up for some Rodizio. Killed a couple hours. It was full of South Americans enjoying, you know, hefty portions of meat. Talk Sport crew was next to us. And we just kind of geared up on our way to the Netherlands-Qatar game, which was a complete racket to get to.
Albayet Stadium. Yeah, it was about a 40-minute drive. No metro. You could take a bus. You could take the metro to the bus about like an hour and a half. It's like there's nowhere to go. Like, and this is the one thing. You go to World Cup, it's crazy trying to get in the stadium because they block off all the roads. You have to walk maybe like 40 minutes to get in. We get in, you know, see Gapko score his goal in the first half. Have to leave early because we got to make the U.S.-Iran game. And it's a total S show to get in any of these stadiums. So, like, we have to leave super early. Get in. They don't have Uber here. They have Kareem. We call, like, an Uber. Guy's got no seatbelts.
And also no brake, no brake either, apparently.
I swear to God, we get in this car, and we've done a lot of traveling. You know, like Bolivia, South America. We've been there with, like, the doors wired on, like, bad cars. But now we're, like, older.
Kids.
We have children. I jump in the front seat. Front seat's got a seatbelt. Alex is in the back. no seatbelt.
And he's asking this guy about a star rating. He's like, how do you get a 5-star rating with no seatbelt? And I was like, yo, just let him focus on driving. And I think something got mixed up in translation because I think he thought we wanted to go there as fast as possible. Because all of a sudden he's going 160 kilometers an hour and the car started beeping and shaking. And John's like, slow down. We're not in a rush.
Question. Like you don't have a seatbelt, and how does that affect your Uber rating if you don't have a seatbelt?
By the way, you should also caveat that nobody, no offense, but nobody can drive here. People drive so aggressively. It's like Jersey on steroids. People get all up in your ass. They're flashing their brights. And we've been driving everywhere because we got a rental car, obviously, because we had to fly in Dubai. We stayed in Abu Dhabi. We're back in Dubai now. And, it's an experience driving out in the Middle East. But, we made it.
So either way, the funniest part about it is like we're driving. Alex is like yelling at me. He's like, "Stop talking to him about his Uber rating." He's like, "He's got to focus on driving."
These guys are like Larry David eating him. I was like, "Take it easy."
Just Alex in the back. This guy, I kid you not, this car is like about to fall apart, and he is like, it's like I said, he's like the only thing we're missing is him blasting
Highway to
like,
Hell, bro.
Highway to Hell, Freebird, just like letting it rip on the highway to the point where he'd go over a certain speed and the car would beep. I look back at Alex. He just panicked. I go to the guys.
He's not even slow down. Belt.
The one thing about you when you travel around the world and you get into these like weird cabs where they're driving like bad out of hell, you gotta tell them slow down, slow down. Like try to rein this guy in. Long story short, we get to the stadium. Iran fans are just like ripping. Have to walk into Al Thumama. Beautiful stadium. The one thing you have to compliment is this one was a top-notch stadium. The Al Bayat, the tent one, looks good on TV. It's not that great.
It's a Van Gogh, you know. It looks nice from afar. You get up close, not so much. Or a Monet, as they say, from Clueless. Sorry, I love Van Gogh. I love Monet. But stadium, like you said, the first one was all right. The big thing was, like, you know, not that much different than Brazil in the sense that it is always a racket to get to the stadiums. But they did tout this billion-dollar, what, $10 billion, $50 billion metro, and it went to none of the stadiums, which was curious. But the walk-in to the game in advance of the U.S.-Iran game, they were making themselves loud and proud. I mean, the U.S. looked a little nervous because they were just in full force. We were certainly outnumbered. But it only added to the event because it felt like a proper match. There was atmosphere. We got in there about an hour before the game kicked off, and it just filled in, and it set quite the scene, didn't it?
Absolutely. The Iran fans with the horns, the drums, they brought the noise. It was like, I would say, probably 70-30. It got really, like, the USA fans, we were trying to get it going, but we could maybe in the first half when it kicked off because, like, U.S. came out and just bossed them. I mean, you saw the first half. Again, a complete dominant performance. You see us play like that. We can go toe-to-toe with anyone in the World Cup. Score the goal, sir. USA fans are going nuts. I'm, like, beside myself. I think it's offsides. I was worried that the ball, the Dest, was off. And there's no one telling you what's going on with VAR in the stadium.
They don't even have the replays the same way they have them on TV. They're almost showing no replays. And if you've been watching this World Cup, there have been a lot of goals that have been overturned because they're checking every single one. They got this new high-tech offsides technology. So obviously your default is going to be this goal is going to be chalked off. It stood. And then honestly, the Iran quieted down and the U.S. fans made their voices heard. And it was just, let's go. Let's not lose this. Let's keep the win. And the first half, I think we were pushing for that second goal. And then I think Berhefer played a little conservative in the second half, especially when we started throwing in MLS players. Don't get me started there.
No, absolutely. So it's like you couldn't – it was a dream to see us play like that. And so it's like I felt like going up 1-0, we get the breakthrough. We're like knocking on the door to end the half. And I'm like thinking like, wow, we are like going to smoke Iran 3-0. This is going to be easy going. Like I'm thinking about the Cuban cigar, getting ready to smoke it, you know. And then we come out second half, same exact thing against Wales. The same exact thing. Like, can't protect a 1-0 lead. We shell up. Berkhever's got to be telling them something. And then the subs start coming.
Oof.
Was it Aronson for Pooley at halftime?
Because he's injured.
Fine. But then, like, the Shaq Moores.
The Costa for McKennie. Costa, that was like, bad.
You know, and it starts spiraling out of control. He did do the back three, brought on Zimmerman.
Which was the right
rush.
Call.
That did work well, but, like, Haji Wright, Sargent goes down injured. Haji Wright comes on. It's very generous to say he won, like, a few balls, but, like, did absolutely nothing. Like, he had a chance to, like, take it to the corner flag in, like, the 97th minute, and he, like, tries to have this scuff shot. I just feel like our decision-making when we kind of get in that panic mode is brutal. And the best – we should be thinking, like, we need another goal. Like, that – after Wales – it has to be said, like, we are not good at – like, the same exact thing. Every ball – every time we get the ball back, we make a rash decision, give it right back to them. We have to be thinking we got to be going forward. Like, you got to think Gio Reyna in that situation. Like, Acosta's atrociously bad. Put in Gio Reyna. Like, as far as, you know, Shaq Moore, fine, he can do a job in a back three, but you need to be getting, like, attacking players on there to do some damage because Iran was there for the taking. And that's the way we should be thinking. But, you know, look, these Iran and Wales games, we're not going to play anyone like that in the rest of the tournament. I don't know where – how many minutes do we get? Do we get nine minutes
extra time? And they have that one really good chance at the death. Yeah, especially the one that –
Near post header and then the one that skirted through Turner's legs.
Right. So there, it would never be more to the end. Ultimately, United States held the line. And then the relief in all the American fans just kind of erupted. It was great to see. We really just enjoyed the spectacle. So we got the Stogues ready. The Romeo and Juliet's from Havana. You can get the real thing here, sir. They got to fix that in America. Come on, fix diplomatic relations. And let's start selling Cuban cigars in the United States of America. But that was the moment. You know, we didn't touch a drip of alcohol in all of Qatar and really got to just take it all in. The fans were having a great time. And as we were walking out, we like bumped in lots of Iranians. We were having a great conversation with some Iranians in the taxi line that live in Dubai. And we, you know, class people, you know, honestly, they probably deserved a point in that game, but we'll take it all day long.
I said, my view is that, like, once again, like, if the U.S. plays a full 90 minutes like we did in the first half, like, we beat them, like, 4-0. But the drop-off in the subs is huge. Burke Heffer's, like, whatever he's saying to them at halftime when you're up a goal, it's wrong.
It's not working.
Like, these players need to be, like, urged to go forward, because as soon as we shell up, it's like Iran is picking us apart. Now, as far as the rest of the tournament, like, hey, we're through. Whatever it takes. I mean, like, a legendary win, so I'll remember that for the rest of my life. The atmosphere, you're in the Middle East. U.S.-Iran, we get the win. No matter how you get it, it's a win. And no matter how nervous we were at the ending, it's a win. And I said before the game, U.S. will go up 1-0 and we'll concede 1-1. Iran will go through in, like, stoppage time. Like, the most heartbreaking result possible. So it almost happened. Glad it didn't happen. You need luck in tournament football, and we go through playing the Netherlands. I think we're going to be frisky in this game. Look, as long as the injuries aren't – like, Josh Sargent being injured doesn't do much. Haji Wright –
as long as you play Gio Reyna, like, instead. Not
no, Pooley being injured, you put Gio Reyna in. That's like for, like – Sargent's injured, you put in Haji Wright. Like, Sargent didn't score. Had decent hold-up play. But, you know, as long as you got the McKinney-Musa – and Tyler out of the MMT midfield, you're good. That is the whole team right there. It's like Sergiño Dest. Robinson should be – I think he should have played a little better. We're trying to get the ball into him behind some heavy touches. But, like, it's really our fullbacks and the midfield that run the show at the end of the day. And if that's firing, I think we can take whatever Netherlands have to offer. We watched them play against Qatar. They were not that great. It didn't look like they're clicking. I mean, they have the players. They got De Jong. Gapko's scoring, but doesn't look like they're – like, when we played England, England looked sharper. I think England's a better side than Netherlands. And if we can go toe-to-toe with England, we can go toe-to-toe with the Netherlands.
Well, I think, you know, United States are kind of reminiscent of certain Manchester United teams where we play up and down to our opposition. I do think we'll show up for the Netherlands. We did watch them play. You know, obviously they have better players. I think if we're trying to go long ball crosses, it's going to be really hard with Van Dijk and Ake. They've got a solid midfield. I do think we might have an edge there just because the midfield showed up against what many think is one of the best midfields in England's side, and I think we dominated that. And I think we just have to play with gumption and go forward and try and get the win and not try and play cagey. Just like play like you know you can play, and this team has got it. Netherlands is going to be a huge performance, but anything can happen in knockout football. We got away with one. I have to say, we got away with one in the second half against Iran, but I'm hoping the Hef is learning on the job because he's in the real game now.
This is going to go like the England game, and the England game, we're the better side. Now, I think you're going to have a question mark around Pooley. I think he played.
He'll make it.
I think you got to play Tim Weah at number 9.
He played well.
You got to play Arrington on the wing. You got to play Tim. You either play Gio Reyna on the wing, put Weah at number 9. I think that's the move. I just think Haji Wright, Josh Sargent. Like, for Ferreira, it's, like, not good enough. Like, our number 9 is just not going to be good enough, and you're better off just trying to get way in behind with that pace because we've seen his finishing. He finished that one that was offsides against Iran.
By a nose.
Look, Burke Heffer's made – he's got the starting 11 right. Like, yes. He's got a core of players playing great. And I think the Netherlands is just going to be more like the England matchup. I think that favors us because we suck playing lower opposition teams because it's hard to – break through the low block. Once we do, we don't know what to do after that. And then instead, it's going to be like going toe-to-toe like the England game. I think it's going to be a great match. I think it's probably 50-50. My call is penalties. So again, flipping a coin, I say U.S. go through on penalties. Sir, what is your score prediction?
United States do it. I think we get a late goal. You know, I think that will benefit the U.S. is like it's going to be cagey all match. And then second half, I think I think he put a good performance in against Iran. I think he'll show up and start against the Dutch, and he gets the winner, 1-0. They push for it at the very end, Louis van Gaal's orange army. But United States move on, and I think we're playing the winners of England-Senegal, but I could be wrong.
I think you are wrong.
I've been wrong before.
We can't play England because they were in our group. So it's Argentina, basically. Whoever the winner of Argentina is. But, sir, I'm sure you're going to Google that and figure it out. But either way, I mean, like, sir, you got to be focused on the next game. Netherlands, like I said, They didn't look like they were clicking that great. And at the end of the day, I think this U.S. team could literally – I'm not afraid of Argentina. I'm not afraid of the Netherlands, honestly. I'd be afraid of Brazil.
Yeah. France.
Like this, in tournament football, you have to get lucky because that's like what tournament football is all about. So you always need luck on your side. Like think of how lucky Poland was.
And the question is, we play the winners of the Argentina-Australia game. So we're going to either play the Socceroos.
Come on, Aussies.
Or the tatted-up Argentines, either way.
But I'm not afraid of Argentina. Like, Argentina doesn't look like they're clicking on all cylinders, honestly. It's like this U.S. team on the day can beat anyone, I think. Aside from Brazil, and, like, you hope Brazil gets eliminated. We get one against the Netherlands. Argentina, they didn't look that impressive against Poland. To be fair, Poland looked poor. Like, there's a lot of teams that were better than in the final 16. I put us probably in the top maybe seven or eight teams, really. Like, as far as like
squads, we don't have a good coach. I mean, you look at that.
The Netherlands played nobody, dude. Like, you look at the average rating of what Netherlands team, the teams they played. Obviously, Qatar brings it down, but the ratings were really low. We played better teams.
But the thing is, like, that composure at the end, right? You need that experience to kill the game off. We didn't see enough of that against Iran. That was frustrating, right? We're giving the ball away. We're losing the ball. We're bottling out of bounds.
Young team.
Of course.
But we didn't see that against England.
That's what Poland
has. We controlled the 90 minutes for England.
No doubt. All I'm saying is if we get in a position where we have the advantage, we have the lead, you have to be able to kill a game. That is, like, you have to learn how to do that. I know that's something that comes with experience, and we'll play in more tournaments. But you have to take it to the corner, right? You got to, like, slow down. We did it a little bit, but, you know, that needs to come. That needs to come.
And big shout-out to Cameron Carter-Vickers, who
played very well.
I mean, like, obviously we had, like, seats where we could see the full field. He dominated, won tons of headers. Like, it
should
be hard not to start him. I mean, it just depends, like, if we're going to be in that defending mode. Walker Zimmerman's tall. It's going to be a tough call for Burkheffer, but we shall see. Sir, we got to look at United in the news here a little bit here. Let's talk Manchester United. Rashford gets a brace. Like, England doing well. I mean, it is against Wales. Free kick, though. That was
banger.
Solid. You hate to see England going through because you want United players to get a rest. Speaking of getting a rest,
Eriksen, Denmark's out
early. I'd say that's an upset, but Eriksen needs a rest because he's been playing so much for Manchester United. Casemiro with a banger goal. Bruno looking good. Apparently Real Madrid's interested in him.
Stay away. But United players on the hop, right? Like, I think a lot of them are feeling good under the new manager. He's motivating them. He's getting the best out of them. Rashford is one of them. He's having a hell of a tournament. Same with Bruno Fernandes. Same with Gapko, the player that he wants.
He came on as a sub and scored against.
Yeah, he scored against Iran. Though he's already got three goals. He scored two goals against, the Welsh, and he's having a decent tournament.
Yeah,
Shaw had an assist.
He scored one against Iran as a sub. He scored two against Wales.
Right, like
but
I said.
Again, those are bad teams. I mean, you know,
Sorry, how many goals did we score against the Welsh? You know, how many goals did we score against Iran?
Scored one.
So what I'm saying is, like, he scored three goals. He's having a good tournament. You can't argue that. Bruno's having a good tournament. Casemiro's having a great tournament. Antony came on, didn't do much. Fred got hooked. I thought Luke Shaw's looked good. Who else is having a good tournament? Lissandro Martinez has kind of been in and out of the squad.
He got benched
for some reason, even though he looks very good.
Gapko, who, you know, there's rumors flying around about Cody Gapko. Be careful. We do not know anything material about Cody Gapko just yet. And putting my director football hat, you never buy the hot player off international tournaments. You never do it. You just don't do it.
But he's not just having a good tournament, sir.
You never do it, dude.
If you look at his level of production in this season, he's had a shit ton of goals, bro.
It's a rule. You have a hot tournament, you don't buy.
But he didn't just have a hot tournament. So you sign him, bro. You get him. Ronaldo's out.
It's you know why? Because the price is driven up. It's a Muppet buy. You need an out-and-out striker. He can play there for the Netherlands. Again, he's scoring goals against bad teams as well. The move was to buy him in the summer. You don't buy a player off a hot tournament, big price tag. Everyone's getting hype about this Gapko signing. I like him, but not for the money. It comes down to price, sir, and you have a hot international tournament, the valuation's high. Look, Real Madrid have to pay $150 million for Bruno Fernandes. If they pay $150 million, does Bruno leave or does he stay?
It's going to be up to Bruno. I mean, for him, it'd be hard to turn down Real Madrid, perennial winners.
So that was a sigh. Sounds like a yes.
No, it sounds like a yes. Like, if they come knocking, it's hard for a player of that caliber at a poorly run club. You know, the Glazers not out yet. And until they are, we're still have fucking John Murtaugh and Richard Arnold, like, dicking around in Barcelona. It'd be hard to turn out a team that's up for the Champions League every single year. So I love Bruno. Probably my second favorite player at the club.
Who's your first favorite?
Him and Rashi, bro. I'm big fans of the two of them. Other than, let's not even talk about the new lads yet. But that'd be hard to turn down. The other rumor that's swirling, sir, is Pooley on loan. You know, that would be good business just because we can go for loan, right? Chelsea are, like, out of sorts at the moment. He's not rated by the English manager there.
He is a very, very underrated player. Very underrated Pooley. Player. Plays on the left wing. Seems like we got Marcus Rashford who can play on the left wing. Jadon Sancho can play on the left wing. Tony Martial can play on the left wing. A little overloaded on the left wing. Also number 10, Bruno, Eric's. I mean, like, you saw Bruno. Pulley's a good replacement. I just don't see where he fits in. We need a number 9. I would take Pulley. He's such an underrated player. He's very good. You can tell in the tournament. He looks, like, amazing.
He'll get
the
better playing under Eric Ten Hag.
Is Musa. Musa. Yunus Musa is the player that Manchester United should sign.
100%. Just turned 20. Has, like, he's still a little bit raw. He's obviously playing at Valencia. Dude. He's playing in La Liga, but he's got a big upside. Especially with, like, the rumor has it that, shocker, Eric Ten Hag does not rate Fred. He's going to let him leave for free on the summer, which is probably the right move.
Fred getting hooked.
But all I'm saying is, like, if you need those spots, is it Hannibal? Is he willing to step up? There's rumors that they may hook him from Birmingham City early on his loan.
He's a completely different player than Hannibal, though. He's the CDM we need. He's the guy, like, Musa's coming in Boston.
We got Casemiro, too.
Fred's getting
hooked. We need a box-to-box. He can play box-to-box.
Exactly. You know, we need depth there. Perfect player.
He's going to go to the Premier League. If we don't get him, he's going.
We need number 9, so, like, Erling Haaland.
I'll take him. Is he available?
Give us a call.
Julian Alvarez looked good. I'll tell you what. He had a nice goal yesterday for Argentina. He would have been good business. £16 million. City got him. But either way, like you said, we need a number 9. Gakpo's on a number 9. Pooley's on a number 9. But are they going to strengthen in January, especially as these rumors continue to swirl around the potential buyers of this club? I don't know. We will see. But Ronaldo's out. They're talking big nut money from buyers out here, out in Saudi Arabia. Quarter of a billion. That's real cash. But we'll see what United does in January transfer window, sir. It's right around the corner. Can't believe it. With this heat here, it's deceiving that it's the 1st of December.
It's insane how hot
it's
it is.
It's so hot.
Like, it's so hot here that I can't comprehend what the summer is like. It's like, we went golfing, and it's just, like, dripping sweat swinging a golf club.
Like 8 a.m.
You know, it's like 9 a.m., like, surface of the sun, and it's winter. It's like a wake-up call. I, like, don't know, like, how people live here. I don't know how the people live here in the summer. It's incredible. I mean, winter, hot. Summer,
like, hotter.
Yeah. Like, it's unbelievable. Ronaldo might go to Saudi Arabia for, like, $250 million. I don't like this move for Sierra 7. MLS all the way. He should be going to LA Galaxy, something banging in, like, 50 goals. Like, I think the Saudi Arabia move is, like, can't you always go to Saudi Arabia? You go to MLS for 3 years, go to Saudi. I don't know. It's like a nothing league.
We don't have to talk about it anymore because he's not part of the club, which is great.
Ego is a planet. The planet, I just feel like MLS. I told Johnny Evans, I said, MLS. He said, I'm getting up there. I'm going to retire. So, but Ronaldo, Saudi Arabia, that seems like a weird move. Like,
I mean, they give you $200 million a year. League. Who cares about Ronaldo, bro? He's out.
I know you don't like Ronaldo.
Well, obviously I don't like Ronaldo. So we'll see what happens there. Will he follow the money? MLS, you know, they're not going to be able to pay him that. But obviously it might be challenging to play in Saudi Arabia in the summer. I don't know when the league revolves around. But another one to watch. January is going to be an interesting one. I don't think Glazers are going to spend any money, bro, when they're looking to sell the club. We'll see.
Well, you could sell Bruno, make money, then use that money to buy other players.
That's a big hole to fill, sir. That's a big hole to fill with Bruno Fernandes.
I'm just saying, but, like, we're motivated to sell because we're cash poor at the moment. And speaking of the United sale, the rumors are, like, it could get done in the summer. Like we said in this podcast, they engaged a bank. They're running a process. That process takes time. Send out materials. Solicit offers. Multiple rounds of offers, whittling it down, right? It takes months to do that. Finalize a few offers,
negotiate, agree to an offer, and then you have confirmatory diligence, and then that takes like 3 to 4 months where they like go through every T, dot every I, and it takes time. It like it could be as fast as possible 6 months, honestly. Sell an asset like that, it's very complex. Unless there's already like shadow conversations before and there's like lead horses right now, it might be like a couple of months. But either way, you have the big announcement. United has agreed to sell. And then it takes months to do all the final paperwork, all the diligence, and then confirm the sale. So Chelsea took 6 months, and that was a decently expressed process.
Accelerated for sure, right? Given the pressure on Abramovich to get that asset sold.
Yep.
But it's already December. They announced that the club was on the block a couple weeks ago. I think we could hear about a potential buyer within 3 months and then probably take another 3 to 4 months to actually close the deal. So by the summer transfer window, you know, we could have a new owner, but we will see, sir. We're going to keep you posted every step of the way, looking on the up for Manchester United. And in the meantime, U.S. men's national team got to bring in against the Dutch on Saturday. Let's go.
Quick fan question here from @TyKircher. He says, what was the atmosphere like for the Iran match? Was it more pro-USA or Iran? What a match. Glad we're through. Let's see how we do against LVG. That's a really good point. LVG.
Leuvengul's Orange Army. I mean, it was definitely advantage Iran. It's like a home game for them. They're in the region. You know, it's not that far of a trip. U.S., they definitely traveled in force. We, like you said, 70-30, 60-40. They were louder than we were in the first half until we scored the goal. Then it was more USA, USA. But there were some people, like you can tell, you know, as many people know, there's a heavy Iranian population in Southern California. I think there were a lot of American Iranians that were there kind of like celebrating, but, you know, cheering for both teams, cheering for Iran, cheering for the U.S., which is just nice to see. But the atmosphere was electric. You know, I was saying to you, I was like, I think that's one of the best atmospheres you're going to get in a World Cup game, especially in a group stage, because, you know, these two countries have history, not always good, but those things are all put aside for sport and all the nonsense, like you said, goes out the window. It was just, it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, but
the
World Cup, you didn't like Doha. You're not a fan of Doha.
I'm not a huge fan. I'm not going back to Doha. I'm not bringing the wife, the kids back.
I went to Doha and it was like, you know, because it's funny because, again, like everything in the world these days, you get the, it's horrible, and then people being like, it's amazing. For me, it's somewhere in between. It's basically like, it's not nearly as cool looking as you watch it on TV. You're like, oh, I want to go there. And then you go there. It's like, nah. It's like, worst fan fest I've ever seen.
That was sad. Nobody there. That fan fest was sad. They took our water.
Service of the sun. And like, literally, they take away your water. Like, they should be giving away water to people because like, people are going to collapse. It's so hot. They're like taking away your water. They got like nothing going on at the fan fest. I couldn't believe it. In Brazil, the fan fest was amazing. Obviously, there was like booze there, and I think this fan fest you can't drink till 7 p.m. So, you know, that was nothing. Down the metro went nowhere. Like both stadiums, like we couldn't get to in Brazil. Actually, that was much easier to get to the stadiums than it was in Doha. So, like the whole idea that they have like anything figured out is wrong.
You could tell the element of it was a rush.
Cabs,
no seatbelts in the cab. I mean, the big thing was like, it felt like they were rushing, like they needed a couple more years.
Oh, my God.
Like the fact
yeah,
that the
totally.
The sidewalks next to the fan fest were like
craggly.
Into
the old airport. Like we flew into the old air. Like, so like you're like, oh, we're going to fly into the airport. There's a metro. We can take it to the fan fest.
Wrong.
Fly into the old airport, get in a bus. They bus you to the terminal. You leave like no metro. You got to walk like 3 miles in like 100 plus degrees like to get to it. So it's like that type of stuff. It's all a sham. Like, they really didn't – they just built a metro for the city, and they're trying to make, like, this amazing – they're trying to upsell everything a little bit. You know, at the end of the day, like, hell of an effort for them to – like, the stadiums were the shining – were the crown jewel to me. They were nice. The stadiums were very nice, but, like, getting into the city and then the metro, trying to get around, like, the way they pitched it was, like, everything would be networked with this new transportation system, and you can go everywhere. I was like, not the case at all. Getting in and out of the stadiums was an absolute nightmare, as you can expect, and something that won't be an issue in 2026 unless you're going to go to the Meadowlands in Jersey.
That would be a shit
Jersey.
Show.
I was like, getting to the Meadowlands, nightmare. Getting to Althumama Stadium, just like going to the Meadowlands if you've ever been.
But that's just a good point. You know, U.S. – Canada, Mexico, we're going to do a try hosting of the World Cup in 2026. You know, getting a ticket to the U.S. men's national team will be a hard bargain. That will be very difficult to get, given all the kind of growing appetite for soccer, USA soccer, football at the moment. It will only get bigger, especially if we have a good result on Saturday.
Should start saying that.
Everyone's calling it soccer here.
I'm a football.
Yeah, I agree. But the whole point of the matter is like, even if you can't get to a game to see the U.S. team, if you're near a stadium, go to a game. It's a great experience. It's unlike anything else. I mean, it is the beautiful game. I think I love how it brings people together, and everyone forgets all the baggage. You know, people are just people. That's what you see. Everyone's the same. Everyone wants basically the same thing. And it's
yeah, never
great
more
experience.
Evident than USA Iran in the Middle East and them being class acts. Like
class.
So you know, like again, Doha, meh. So far, food in the Middle East, sir. Your review of the highs and lows of the trips.
Highs and lows of the
don't
food.
Don't drive here. Like, we ran a car driving everywhere. Drivers are like, anyone who lives in Jersey, New Jersey Turnpike, aggressive driving, lane swerving, double lane swerving. They call that the Jersey slide. It might as well be called, like, the UAE slide. The driving is insane out here. Like, we've almost been in, like, 23 car accidents. People are so great. Like, a lot of flashing the brights at you. Like, really intense stuff on the driving front. So, take a taxi.
Take a taxi, you know.
Food, bad. You know, the food's bad. Like, that's just the way. They have nice restaurants. They're rated highly.
You have a lot of, like, celebrity chefs put their names on restaurants. Exactly. And I don't know how often Marco Pierre-White's coming out to Abu Dhabi to check on the food because,
bad pasta. That's, like, you can't cook pasta or what, right? I mean, like, Alex is more of the foodie than me, so.
I'm sure there's good, I'm sure if they're local, if they could point us in the right direction, we probably fucked it up there.
So we went to high, like, top 10 restaurants. Sorry, in
you know what? Right? Well, like, shame on us.
We didn't, like.
We haven't eaten in Dubai yet, so we're hopeful for tonight. We will see. Last night in the region, then we're heading home. And it's been a great trip, sir. I've enjoyed every second of the people here. I've been very warm. Made us feel welcome. And we've enjoyed our stay. And, you know what? In terms of a performance, it couldn't have gone much better for the U.S.
You enjoyed the shisha last night?
Enjoyed the shisha. They make a mean shisha out here.
Alex is like hitting the shisha for like 2 hours. Like, sir, just come. I'm feeling the shisha today.
Feeling it.
All right. That's it. That's the podcast. You like the American Red Devils. We are four fans, by fans. We appreciate everyone. Look, this is a quick and dirty on the road hot take ARD abroad podcast. We're feeling the time change. We're feeling the 24 hours in Doha. We are heading back. We'll be on our normal schedule once we get sorted. Apparently, word from the wives is no pods this weekend.
No pods are working out. No. So we'll do the Patreon on Monday, Tuesday, and then we'll break down the U.S. result against the Dutch.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so early next week, we'll be breaking down the Dutch result and then getting into United. United playing some friendly fixtures. Erik ten Hag. There's going to be a lot of United players probably going deep in this tournament. Also, interesting activity as far as where January transfers are going. Maybe we're recalling some players from loan, like Hannibal being one. I think that's very interesting. I think we should be evaluating these players so Erik ten Hag can figure out what to do next season. So, look, we'll be back at it on our normal regular scheduled programming. But in the meantime, we just want to say appreciate everyone. Go Team USA. We are out.